This interview is with Rick Reardon at Left Coast Crime, El Paso, Texas, February 26, 2005. He is the author of the Jackson Navarre the Third series. As Jane Rosen said that you were, or you wrote your last, or Southtown with a scalpel. I'd like that.
Yeah, I did too. I wish it were true.
No. In one of the sessions, I think actually it may have been that session where S.J. Rosen was questioning you or interviewing you, or you were interviewing her, or you were talking. Oh, this will be edited, believe me. What one of the things that I took away from that session and another session that I attended was that the interest in writing a novel can be place driven, geographical, your familiarity with the area.
Right, definitely.
And how do you say your character's name?
The main character is Trace Navarre.
Trace Navarre.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how you got the character, you placed them in a setting.
Right. I definitely started with the place of San Antonio when I was writing the series to begin with. And it was a question of appreciating what I knew, I think, because people always tell you to write about what you know. But that never made sense to me until I moved away from San Antonio for a while and saw it from afar. And when I did that, I began to appreciate it on a whole new level. And that was the first time that I'd become interested in actually using it as a fictional setting and saw its potential.
Okay. So, and prior to that time, before you went away to school in California, you were born and raised in San Antonio. You went through the school system there.
Yes, right.
So there was geography and history of the city and the region that was...
Sure, it's really the only home I've ever known. I was born and raised there and lived there for 25 years before I moved out, and a little bit of time in college in Austin, but except for that, San Antonio was it.
Okay. So the... There's some responsibility for authenticity when, or first of all, is there some responsibility for authenticity of location and time period?
Absolutely, absolutely. You, even if you're doing fiction, you owe it to yourself and to the readership to try to get your location correct. If not in every technical detail, as in the street may not turn left there or there may be no house on that block, you still have to get the flavor and the spirit of the place as correct as you can.
Okay. Given that that you're a product of San Antonio and that you went to school in Texas, graduate school and all, even out west, was there additional history research that you had to do to get facts?
I'm not sure about... I guess I did do some historical research, but a lot of that was indirect. A lot of that was living in the city as an adult as opposed to growing up there. You can live in a place and not know a place. Or only see a very small fraction of what a place has to offer. That's especially true of San Antonio because it is such a diverse place. It's such a rich blend of cultures. But for me, growing up in the Anglo suburbs, it was completely possible to not be aware of the city's roots and the city's cultures. And when I started living there as an adult after high school and living in different parts of the city and seeing the city more as a whole, as opposed to my own little sheltered corner of it. I was kind of stunned, frankly, that I didn't know this before, that all of this, all the city as a whole, what it had to offer, had somehow not been presented to me as a kid growing up there. Or maybe it had been, and I just wasn't perceptive to that. But San Antonio was a lot bigger than I realized. It was a lot richer than I realized. And I think it was high school and college before I really appreciated that it wasn't just any place, USA. It was unique. And the mix of culture that we have there really isn't like many other places in the United States that I can think of that I've visited. So.
Language and culture, then, is that an area that you had to do a little bit more studying on, given the kind of not knowing
the blinders?
When
you say study,
for the purpose of your books.
A lot of it was drawing on personal experience. All of the characters, to some extent or another, are combinations of real people, people that I know. I just don't think I could have pulled it off any other way if I had tried to create a character with absolutely no foundation other than, this is who I want him to be. Of course, they were changed for fictional purposes, but they're people that I know, and that was important because the characters in a place are part of the setting, and the stories that I tell really couldn't happen any other place than San Antonio with its unique sort of connections between people and how the various parts of town function together. It's a very unique machine, San Antonio.
Your background is like English lit or something like that.
Right.
But your leisure reading during that time, were they mysteries?
Mostly at that time. That's probably why I decided to write the Trace Noir series as mysteries, because it was simply what I was most comfortable with. Although, like my character Trace Noir, my background is English lit, and my interests range from medieval English to contemporary novels. I read a lot of everything, and history as well. Mysteries are my pleasure reading.
What authors did you read or did you know of that had Latino characters before the series, before your own series?
Not many. The only one I can think of is Rudy Anaya, Zia Summer. Was one that I had read. And I'm trying to think if there are any other. It's not, strangely, I guess, it's not something that I gave a whole lot of thought to. I tend to be attracted to the voice when I'm reading. And the place, too. And if the place happens to be someplace where there's a big Hispanic influence, then, that's a great thing, but it's not something that I necessarily categorize or think about when I'm reading. Who else? Manuel Ramos. Those are the only two, really, that come to mind.
Okay. In 1960, there was an author, her pen name was Del Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote the Luis Mendoza series, a Mexican-American in Los Angeles, I believe. Humble beginnings, is in the police department, his grandfather dies, inherits a lot of money. And she works with him very well, actually, in terms of developing the character, in a positive light on this side of the law instead of that.
Right.
Right. And she actually was one of the main reasons that I started looking at how community was represented in the mystery novel in particular. Rex Burns was probably right after Linnington. Her series was 38 books.
Wow.
Or 36 or 38 books on Mendoza. He had been talking about Rex Burns wrote the series with the character Gabe Wager, Gabriel Villanueva Wager, half Mexican, half white. And he told me when I interviewed him in July about a Raymond Chandler template for a character. Does Tress follow
Raymond Chandler?
That type of template for character, did you develop them that way, or?
I don't know that. I don't know that I consciously followed any sort of template. Certainly, I know the Raymond Chandler books, and certainly they were very influential for me. Some things that I think that I took from Raymond Chandler are the character who is looking for justice in a world that is innately unjust. The sort of the knight, the tarnished knight, who's trying to make something right in a system that is corrupt. And I do admire that. But the character that somehow manages to have his own moral code and hang on to it. And I think that's probably also connected with the Western idea of the gunslinger, the guy who rides into town and is the only law, the only way of finding justice when the sheriff won't help you and there is no one else and evil is running rampant. So I guess I admire that. I guess that there's something appealing to most people about thinking that we could be that person, that the person who would stand up and do what is morally right when no one else would, even if we wouldn't have the courage necessarily to do that. So that's what I admire about the Raymond Chandler character.
One of the other attributes or characteristics is that the protagonist in that type of story is an outsider. Mm-hmm. He's conflicted, he or she's conflicted, and that they don't belong. Mm-hmm. Is Tress any of those?
Absolutely. He's an outsider and he's a stranger in his own land. He's a native Texan who just really doesn't fit the stereotype. He's from a family of what you would probably call good old boys. I mean, his dad was the sheriff and knew everybody and has all these connections. Trace just didn't fit that. The irony of the whole series is that Trace was probably better suited in the San Francisco Bay Area. That was probably a better fit for his personality, and yet that's not where he's from. He's from Texas, but he doesn't really fit there. But it is his home. Those are his roots, and he has to go back there and sort of make his peace with home, even though it's really not where he feels the most comfortable.
His mother is Chicana, or is she Mexican American?
No, he's 100% Anglo. Trace is. It's fascinating to me how many people think that he's Hispanic. But he's not.
In one of your books, you didn't write that his mother was Mexican American.
No. No, her maiden name is Rachel McInnes. She's Scotch. But you're not the first person to make that assumption. And I don't know why. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's the name Tres, but that's a very common name for Anglo men in San Antonio.
Really?
Because they're the third. But no, Tres is 100% Anglo. And people are always saying, it's interesting that you have a Hispanic detective or a half Hispanic detective. No, he's bilingual. He speaks Spanish, which I think that throws some people, some readers, which is kind of sad, I guess, when you think about it, that if you're bilingual, you must be Hispanic, right? Because right. most Anglos are not. And that's true, but sad. But no, he has connections. He has friends. Ralph Arguello is his best friend, and you know he has these conduits to that part of San Antonio's culture. But Trace himself is Anglo.
And what would make a reader think, or what would lead a reader to think that Tress is half
Latino? I don't know. If it's not the Spanish language, if it's not, I don't describe him physically. Hardly at all. I think there's one point in the first book, in Big Red Tequila, when I think I say something like he was a sort of a Mediterranean skin, dark skinned, and sort of got dark hair. So maybe that's what does it for people. It is unusual in San Antonio for an Anglo to be fluent in Spanish and to have a lot of connections within the Latino community. And that's still today, that's true. I talk to law enforcement people, and they're always telling me, still in this day and age, that you really have to double up. If you're an Anglo, say, police officer, you need a partner who's Latino. Because if you go to the west side of San Antonio and try to talk to somebody, even if it's nothing big, they're looking for somebody who's missing, they won't talk to you. And vice versa, if you're Latino, you go to the Anglo side, forget it. So you have to have a partner on el otro lado. You know, mm-hmm. you have to have a connection. And if you don't, you won't get anywhere.
There was a session here on social consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Given that your stories are in San Antonio, with a humongous, I think it's majority population Latino.
Yeah, it's correct? Probably, it's about 60%, I think, yeah.
Do you see yourself as writing with a social conscious? Or a social consciousness?
A social consciousness. I'd like to... I mean, I can't make any great claims. I mean, being this white guy from San Antonio, I can't make any great claims of understanding what it is like to grow up Latino in San Antonio, other than just the people I know, trying to be a good listener, trying to put myself in other people's shoes. I don't have any ground to stand on there. I can't be from that place, mm-hmm. but I can try to be. I can try to admit that to start with, and I can also try to recognize that there's not just one story, that everybody is coming from a different place, and there are millions of stories within the Latino community in San Antonio, just like any other place, and that within that spectrum, I can hope to find some truth, some just basic human truth about what it is. And I do hope that the characters I do write about are real, and that they will resonate with any reader, and that if there are examples of social injustice, which there are, of course, that without preaching about it, I can simply present it as, this is a situation that is true. This could happen to you. And that, you know, that's what I aim at. I'm hoping to present San Antonio as it is. It's in its entirety, not as this sort of schizophrenic city that I grew up with, and that it still is. I don't think that's true. If you're Latino in San Antonio, I think you have to exist in both worlds. You have to be comfortable being around sort of the non-culture of the Anglo, umbrella that sort of encompasses the United States, and in your own community, you have to be able to do that. I think if you're white, you can ignore that. You do so at your own peril, but you can blind yourself to everyone else's experience. And I think that's the danger, that you become insensitive and you don't realize what it's like for someone who's not like you. Now, does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. I don't want to say your role, but your goal maybe in expressing these different experiences in the city of San Antonio, not just San Antonio, but in society, and representing them fairly, where the reader learns. How different is that from you being a teacher or having been a teacher with your students? Do you see the responsibility is similar?
It is similar. I think it's probably greater as a teacher, just like the impact that I have is greater as a teacher. A novel is nice. A novel is fiction. It does have a responsibility to represent the truth. But teaching is a different level of responsibility. Teaching is personal interaction with someone that could change their life at a moment's notice. One comment that a teacher makes can change a student's life. And I hear back from kids that I taught 15 years ago, and they'll give me some comment that I told them that I thought was just a throwaway comment, and it completely shaped their lives, and they've never forgotten it. Just if I said, good job on that paper, that just made their whole middle school experience. You have to be so conscious of that when you're teaching. And you have to understand where kids are coming from, and a lot of that is being sensitive to their backgrounds. What's their home life like? Where are they coming from, and what is their perspective? And a lot of times, it's not mine. So I have to, when you're a teacher, you have to be a learner too. If you're not, then you're not going to be a very good teacher. You have to listen.
How long will the series go?
I don't know. We are contracted for at least 3 more. And then we'll see. After that, I don't know where I'll go with it from there. The next book was a very painful book to write, actually. Mission Road, which comes out in June, centers on Ralph Arguello and his relationship with Trace, and the friendship is sort of deteriorating because Ralph has gotten married and he's become a family man. He's married a cop, and Trace doesn't know what to make of any of this. You know, Ralph isn't who he used to be. He's trying to settle down and become a father. And while Trace is very happy for him, this is just not the Ralph that he always knew, this crazy guy. There were a lot of tensions to be dealt with. Talk about expectations and role models. It turns everything on its head.
What issues in this series are specifically, I don't know what the word would be, Tejana, Texania, Texanica, or?
take your pick.
Texarkana.
What issue? Texarkana.
What issues are specifically Texarkana?
Tejana, both in
especially like in the crime area.
Yeah.
Is there a southwestern crime?
Is there a southwestern crime?
I mean, is there genre? Crime specifically to
the southwest? There is. There are. I can't say that there are crimes that happen nowhere else, but it's an interesting mix. In South Texas, we have, of course, the drug trade, the Mexican mafia. We have a lot of gang activity, and a lot of that is racial. The drug trade pretty much drives, as near as I can tell, most of the other crime. It's always in the background, even with local street gangs. The drug trade is always there. Human smuggling, illegal immigration, human slavery on some of the slave ranches. These are all issues that I've dealt with in the books in the past. And the frightening thing is, sometimes I make things up. I just say to myself, okay, I've lived here and I can imagine this happening. for instance, slave labor farms in South Texas. And I'll make something up, and I'll find out later that I've described something that actually happened. There was an incident recently where we had a large number of illegal immigrants coming in an unventilated truck from Mexico, and they suffocated in the bag. It was a horrific incident. The problem was I had just written a scene exactly like that, having no knowledge that this actually happened. But it turned out that it was true.
How does that make you feel?
Horrible. That I can't imagine anything that's more horrific than what actually happens. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. That sometimes you imagine the worst that people could possibly do, and somebody out there has done it, and it'll be in the headlines the next month. An interesting thing, you ask about Tejano issues and that in the books. One thing that was interesting to me was when I created the character of Ana de Leon, who is the homicide detective who Ralph ends up marrying. Talk about not really having a frame of reference. What would it be like being the first Latina, not just police officer, but high echelon detective in the homicide department in San Antonio? So I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of interviews with Latina officers in other cities. And a lot of that came out in Anna's character. And I think the most interesting thing about her is that she is seen as a role model, as a trailblazer, but she sort of resents that. She doesn't want to be a trailblazer. She doesn't want to be seen as the model for all other Latino officers to come, that whatever she does is going to affect on everyone who comes after her. And she's very conscious of that. That's a huge burden on her that she doesn't really want. She just wants to be her own person and to be evaluated on her own strengths and merits. And if she messes up, she doesn't want that to affect everyone who comes after her. But she's conscious that it will anyway, whether she wants it to or not. So that's an interesting bind for her that continues to drive her in the books.
Last question. Are your papers going to San Antonio Public Library or UT Austin?
My papers. Such as they are, I've given some early manuscripts and things like that to the, actually San Marcos. They have, they're a big Texas writers collection at the library at the University Southwest. And they have quite a few other Texas writers there. So they had asked me if I would send them some manuscripts. So such as I have are in San Marcos at the moment.
Thank you.
Sure.